following conference is one of a second series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and teaches at the Pontifical Institute for Advanced Studies in Catholic Doctrine at St. John's University in New York. Father is well known as a lecturer, retreat master, and author. This second series of retreat conferences has proved to be of great spiritual inspiration and assistance to priests, religious, and laity alike, because like all of Father Hardin's conferences, one can be well assured they are founded on solid Catholic doctrine. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Decision-Making in the Spiritual Life. Father Hardin.
Our topic for the present conference is decision-making in the spiritual life. Of all subjects to talk about, we might begin by observing that if there's anything characteristic of St. Ignatius, it is this: that people make up their minds and decide with their wills. Perhaps a one-word description of Ignatian spirituality would be decisiveness. However, quite apart from its being characteristic of Ignatius and therefore essential to a retreat, it is also essential to a life of Christian perfection. Indeed, without it, that is, without making long and short-range decisions, holiness is a dream. It will never be achieved. My intention is to cover these areas of a large ascetical subject. First, to ask ourselves, why is decision-making in the spiritual life so important? Then, what do we mean when we speak of making decisions? And then, very practically, how to make not merely effective, but more effective decisions in the life that God has still left us for making decisions. Why is it so important? First of all, making decisions involves the human will, which is the necessary counterpart to divine grace. Grace alone will not even save us. Grace alone will certainly not sanctify us. It must indeed be grace from God, but it must also be our free cooperation with grace. Moreover, we believe, and it has been clarified as never before so extensively as in the Second Vatican Council, that all Christians are called to holiness. It is equally obvious, if not more obvious, that not all Christians are holy. Well, if all are called to holiness, and not all are holy, the only reason must be that people have not been making those free will decisions which are necessary if we are going to use this grace. Our decisions, therefore, with our free wills, determine not only how holy, but even whether we shall be holy. Because if there's one article of our faith that should be blazoned across the portals of every religious house, it is that divine grace is resistible. That's right. We are here, of course, not talking about not merely not resisting grace. If we can resist it, the same free will can cooperate with it and either cooperate weakly or strongly. Moreover, as by now we have all lived long enough to know, life, whether physical or spiritual, involves struggle. These struggles are part not only of life, but of even survival in life. And while there would have to be many qualifications for applying the statement of Darwin literally, there is such a thing as the survival of the fittest. Those even survive in the spiritual life who have cultivated the habit of making clear, strong decisions. Like what? Like coping with the trials and difficulties that are part of the struggle of life and not caving in. No struggle, no progress. But if I want to not merely survive in my struggles, but by mastering them become holy, I must use my God-given free will, decide that I am going to cope with these trials and with the same grace, overcome them. A large part of the growth in holiness is decisiveness in struggling with the problems of life. Finally, God is unpredictable. We have got to be ready to constantly readjust ourselves to God's will. In a word, we must decide, not only once and for all, but every time He decides to test our loyalty, we've got to decide to be loyal. I'll leave it to God to do the unexpected. That's God. Decision-making, therefore, is important, even to remain supernaturally alive. It is decisively important if we are going to grow in sanctity. Now we ask ourselves, what does this decision-making mean? We can distinguish, for the sake of convenience and the purposes of this conference, three levels of making decisions, and they are not the same. We can first of all give each of these three levels a name. Decision as commitment, decision as resolution, and decision as choice. What do we mean by each? All are part of our lives. First, decision as commitment. This involves the decision that I am confident we have all made to choose our state of life. All should make such a decision. Did I tell you about a seminar that I ran for single women one weekend in Chicago? Even if I did, it's worth repeating because it touches on what I am talking about. 40 professional women, late 20s up to the early 40s or so. I asked no one her age. They had all reached the top of the ladder in whatever business or profession they were in. Medical profession, doctors, sociologists, teachers, nurses, the personnel director for TWA, and the editor of the AMA Journal. All evidently successful women. It's the one weekend, it's never happened since, that I didn't sleep Friday or Saturday night. We had conferences, private ones, all through the days and all night. I kept awake with strong black coffee. By the end of the weekend, they all knew where I stood. Most of them had never made a decision regarding their state of life. Because a state of life is not a job. It's not an employment. A state of life is what I decide God wants me to do with my life. Whether I'm to marry or remain single. And if I'm to marry, whom? Because, as I told them, it's no help to decide you want to marry unless you also decide on whom. Kind of obvious to my masculine logic. And if you wish to be single, which is a state of life, in what state will you be single? Will it be in the world? Fine. It's a genuine state of life. Is it in the religious life? Or a secular institute? And if it's the religious life, which one? This is no mean task. Decision making is hard work. It requires effort. We shall all assume that on this first level of decision-making, as commitments, we have decided for the religious life. Synonyms for commitment, there are many. I like these two: dedication or consecration. But now, before we leave this, I would like to add that decision-making as commitment, which is a long-range, indeed lifelong decision, I make it now, but the assumption is I'm going to keep it until I die. That's the essence of commitment. And in case any of us needs to shore up our commitment, well, this is a good time to do it. I don't mean this minute. But there are two features to decision-making as commitment which I like to bring out because they are liable to be missed. The first is that when I make a commitment, I really make a promise to God. It's remarkable how many people, even after years in the religious life, don't quite see clearly that entering the religious life and making this kind of a commitment is a promise I make to God. It's a covenant. And when I make a promise to God, that is a solemn covenant. I then call God to witness when I take my vows to the sincerity of my decision and the earnest plea and confidence that He will give me the grace that I need to remain faithful to my decision. That's the first feature. That commitment is a promise to God. But secondly, commitment, as this kind of decision, is a promise made to others. Others whom I join, who have made the same kind of commitment. So that I assume two kinds of responsibility. One before God, one before the people, towards whom and with whom I am to live out my commitment. Both place obligations on me. Before God, the obligation to live up to the expectations that He tells me He wants me to live up to according to the teachings of His church. And with respect to the people, the religious family, to whom I make my commitment, I covenant a relationship with them so they have a right to expect of me loyalty to the community. The evidence of good example. The assurance of my assistance. They depend on me. And how seldom religious think of that. We can be so wrapped up in self as to overlook the fact that my fellow religious need me to live up to their respective commitments to God. Of course, I need them too. But I'm stressing my obligation to them. They need me. So much for decision-making as commitment. Decision as resolution. Now this is somewhat different. This is not precisely the long-range decision in terms of a lifetime commitment. It is rather as, for example, in times of retreat, that I'm called upon to make certain decisions as resolutions, or in times of crisis. Situation just develops, and although I've made my long-range commitment, I better make a few more decisions. And rather soon, I'm faced with a crisis. Now, in essence, decision as resolution serves the purpose of keeping alive and sustaining decision as commitment. We must then periodically expect. And once a year is about as long as we should wait to reassess how well I've been doing, where I have failed, and to resolve to improve my life so that my long-range commitment will be faithfully kept. Decision as choice. Now we're going to go over each of these three in the next part of this conference. I just want to here explain what each kind of decision making means. Decision, better decisions as choice, are those multitudinous, what shall we call them, acts of the will that we are called upon to make every day and depending on our lives, even many times a day. We just finished benediction. The conference was to start immediately after. Sister came into the sacristy to tell me, I have a long distance call. Is the party on the line? Yes. You never know how far away it can be. This one was New York. Being money conscious myself, I want to save people money. I made a quick decision. I could have told Sister, go back and tell him or her to call back later. Like, say, 8:30, New Mexico time. What did I do? I decided to allow you to practice a bit of patience and answer the call. Clear, right? All day, many times a day, these decisions are part of our life. Let me give a brief description of what I consider this decision as choice to be. Decision as choice is every opportunity I see for cooperating with God's actual grace. Consequently, I should pause for a moment. What does God want me to do? And then I decide, notice, to do it. Is that nice?
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.